Acts chapter 14. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel.
Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the past generations, he allowed nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave them without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrain the people from offering sacrifice to them.
Awesome. Well, Lou, thanks for joining me today on the Our Daily Rhythm. Thanks for reading and from Acts chapter 14. And would love to hear any of your thoughts that you have on this passage.
I know this is a big passage and there's a lot of exciting, thrilling, chilling stuff in here. But as an elder of the church, I want to focus on verse 2. Because recently I've come to realize how easily even people in churches can be influenced by other people who may poison their minds in one way or another. The passage says, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers." And so sometimes in counseling, we come across situations where it's pretty obvious or we have a strong suspicion that someone we're counseling is being unduly influenced by other people. Mm-hmm. And some people do it innocently, and some people actually are very calculated in their attempts to influence others, even to the point of poisoning their minds. In fact, in Hebrews 12, it says that we should be on guard lest a root of bitterness is probably a person springing up amongst you and thereby many be defiled. It can trouble many people. So we really need to be on guard against people who would influence us to do what is wrong. Now, the passage, of course, is talking about unbelievers being stirred up and their minds being poisoned. But the truth is the same for us. The Bible warns even Christians. It says, don't be misled. Mm-hmm. Bad company corrupts good morals. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Don't associate with a man given to anger. Why? Lest you learn his ways and find a snare to yourself. Paul says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole dough? Mm. Now, that little preamble, don't be misled, bad company corrupts good morals. We kind of forget that. But the fact of the matter is, it's easy for us to be misled, and we have to be on our guard. That's really a warning. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good people. I remember when I first came to the South in 1985, I was bound and determined that I was not going to speak Southern.
Hmm. How have you done with that?
Well, I'll tell you the story. Okay. It lasted about 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how it is, like up in New York where I grew up, we would say hi. Then I spent 7 years in Kansas City in the Midwest and it was hello, mm-hmm. right? Down here, it's hey.
Hey.
Right? In New York, you go into an elevator and you push the button. Midwest, you press the button. In the South, you mash the button, right? In New York, it was so long. In the Midwest, it was goodbye. In the South, it's bah. In New York, you drink soda. In the Midwest, you drink pop. In the South, you drink
Coke.
Coke, right? No matter what you're having, it's Coke. Let's go out for
what
Coke.
What kind of
right?
Coke are you having?
Right,
what's
exactly.
Your favorite?
My favorite Coke is probably ginger ale. I don't know. So when I was a kid, my first job, I worked as a wagon boy at a supermarket. You know, the metal instruments and plastic carts that you put your food in. Well, in New York, they're called wagons. In the Midwest, they're called, what are they called in the Midwest? They're called, I think carts.
Shopping right? cart or something.
Shopping carts, right. Here, they're called what?
A buggy.
A buggy, right?
Yeah.
Or in the Deep South, maybe a basket, you know. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, I was bound and determined I was not going to speak Southern. It's not that I'm in, you know, I was embarrassed necessarily to, you know, to talk like y'all. Mm-hmm. But I just had visions of my family when I was when I went back to visit, making fun of me for the way I talk. Well, anyway, so I fought it and I fought it and I fought it, and then one day I noticed that, you know, these words started slipping out of my mouth. I started saying hey, I started saying bah. You know, yeah. I started saying Coke and all this stuff that I, and they'd come out of my mouth and I would try to stop, you know, like, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. And this is not me. Mm-hmm. Well, I fought it one way or another for about 18 months. And finally I decided I was going to be all things to all men so that I just threw in the towel because it was just too hard for me to resist against the influence. Well, that's a human, that's a humorous story, hopefully. But, the fact of the matter is we are very, very easily influenced. And I think we have to be on guard against allowing people who consciously or otherwise may even sneak into the church and lead people astray. You know, Acts chapter 20, Paul's talking to the elders and he said, look, I know after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, enter in among you, mm-hmm. not sparing the flock. And then he says this also from among your own selves. Either people in the church, but probably he's talking about the elder board, right? Mm-hmm. From among your own selves, men will arise to lead astray the disciples after them. There must also be factions among you, divisions among you, that those who are truly ordained, truly approved, will be made manifest to all. So you have all these verses that warn you against being misled by other people. And of course, we can be misled by other things. So the point is, I think as Christians, we should take everything back to the scriptures. I think we should be Bereans. When someone tells us something, when someone teaches us something, we should take it back to the scriptures. Why were the Bereans so noble? Mm-hmm. Why? Well, for two reasons. First, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They were eager to learn. And then secondly, they searched the scriptures, the Old Testaments, daily to see if the things that they were learning from the apostles were really true. So anyway, I know that's not the nuts and bolts of the passage, but I really think that phrase, poison the minds of, or stirred up, and, yeah. the word is against. It says poisons the mind, and the word kata is there in the Greek, against. Mm-hmm. And again, there are people who would like to influence us against the truth, against this Christian, against that person, and we just have to be on guard.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that is a really, really good warning for all of us. I think, you know, your point is very well taken. You know, our ability as human beings to be influenced by the culture, by others, by people who would come into the church and and seek to implant and insert division. We have a capacity to be influenced. But you know what? We also, on the other side of the coin, we also need to understand that we have the ability to be influenced, but we also can influence others.
That's right.
And
for better or for worse.
For better or for worse. And so, you know, our hope is that we, like the Bereans, would test the things that we know according to the scriptures, that we would anchor ourselves in what God has revealed, and that we would seek to use that influence that we have, so obviously from our text, to bring people into truth and not away from the truth, to give good things to their mind. That's and not right. poison to their mind.
And one of the biggest giveaways, let me just throw this in at the end, you know, one of the biggest giveaways of this bitterness thing, Hebrews 12, 13, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you. If you're regularly talking to someone you know is bitter at this thing or the other thing, you know, this candidate or this issue or this book or this author or whatever, if you sense a bitterness there, you probably ought to really examine everything twice. As the Bible says, examine everything carefully, retain that which is good. So again, just a warning to be discerning, not to be naive, and to take everything back to the Word of God.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Lou, thanks for reading this passage with me and explaining it for our folks. And for Lou Priolo, I'm Blake Rogers. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737, or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.